Welcome to the latest episode of Culture Clash. Kevin's off being Cobra and trying to take over the world this weekend, so that leaves me in charge of picking the topic, and we're going to make this a special one because we are on the road to WrestleMania. We're 2 days away at the time of this recording, and I've got a guest here, and the man knows his wrestling, one Mr. Michael Morris from the Cloud City Casino. Michael, welcome to the road to WrestleMania here on Culture Clash.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. We got this WrestleMania coming up, and it's going to be a big one. I feel like I'm kind of mixing my impersonations here with Jesse the Body Ventura and the Hulkster, but let's go ahead and just go on with the show, I guess. I started, I'm like, okay, Hulk, nope, that's the body.
Yeah, well, next time I'll queue up Real American for you.
There you go. Right.
So we are on the road to WrestleMania 33, and I got to say, this is one of the more interesting WrestleMania cards we've had in a while, Michael.
Yeah, you know, it's one that I really, you know, I'm a little excited about some stuff. I'm a little let down by some other stuff, but I'm mostly just sort of having, you know, I'm sort of the wait and see kind for a lot of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I've got the card in front of me. And for one, this is going to be a record long WrestleMania when you add in the pre-show this year.
Absolutely.
At five, and they're going to have at least three matches on the pre-show. And yeah. Then the actual show itself starts at 7. And, of course, that's here in my own backyard in Orlando, Florida. Unfortunately, I'm still hooked to the tax desk. So, like Star Wars Celebration in a few weeks, going to miss out on WrestleMania. But you know what? That's what the network is there for. And I think we have to start off, Michael, with more than anything, this has been an interesting build to WrestleMania this year. Because really, usually we have a good half of WrestleMania plotted out shortly after the Royal Rumble, and we didn't really even have, they were still setting matches as of this week on shows.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting for sure.
So, but I mean, it is a pretty big weekend. Tonight we're talking is the introduction for the WWE Hall of Fame. And of course the big name with that is Kurt Angle. I'm glad to see Angle back with WWE. I'm glad he's beat his demons and got his life straight, because I think he's one of the all-time greatest wrestlers we've ever had.
Yep, and he just recently did an interview, and the way he was speaking in that really really kind of leads to the thought process that he will be doing some wrestling coming up.
Yeah, I know there was an interview with Triple H on the Cheap Heat podcast with Peter Rosenberg, and he had said, basically, what they've told Angle is nothing will be discussed until after WrestleMania, and he's got to pass their physical. Nothing will happen. Yeah. So that's the big question, because, I mean, his neck is not in the greatest of shape. But I do see Kurt Angle before SummerSlam, if not sooner, being at least on a fairly active TV role on WWE TV. A lot of people are speculating he could be the new Raw GM now that Mick Foley has gone off to have his hip replacement surgery.
Right. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to have to step in and fill that role. So, I agree. I think that's a very strong possibility.
So, and you know, we've got, and we'll just start off. Another big thing for WrestleMania this year has really been WWE is really in the last year gotten a big relationship, not only with ESPN, but a lot of these sports website pages. I can go to SI.com, CBSSports.com, and they all have sections now for the WWE.
Yeah, Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report. So I think that's really kind of an interesting dynamic that they had a relationship with ESPN last year, but it's a lot bigger relationship with legitimate sports outlets now that are recognizing WWE. And I think it's interesting, bringing an interesting dichotomy to their approach this year.
Right. Right.
So we've got the Hall of Fame tonight. We've also got the Rock and Roll Express going in. And I'm still very shocked that they're being inducted by Jim Cornette, because I didn't think he was ever going to have anything to do with the WWE again.
I wouldn't think the WWE would have anything to do with him again.
Well, that one goes both ways, so I'm a little shocked by that. You have the late Ravishing Rick Rude going in, well-deserving. You've got Beth Phoenix, who would be thriving right now in the women's division if she was part of it.
I don't agree with that. I'll just be honest with you. I
better fit than from when she was in the women's division at the time.
I mean, that's true. I think that, look at like Tamina Snuka, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that there's so much talent there right now that she would have to be competing with. And honestly, I think that she was a lot more limited. I think she was good for her time, but I mean, she was there at probably at least one of the worst times as far as the women's roster goes. And I kind of feel like she was extremely limited in what she could do. She did a lot of like, seems like if I remember correctly, there's a lot of like clotheslines and throwing other women by their hair, and that was about it. So
I can see that. And I do kind of wonder if her current husband has anything to do to influence that some as well.
Yeah. I mean, my thinking honestly is that they may have been considering China and may have thought, okay, it may be too early to put her in. And Beth Phoenix sort of seemed like the next, you know, the next best thing to China, I suppose. But I don't know. I got to be honest. I just feel like Beth Phoenix is kind of an odd pull. You know, I would have to look through the women's roster and see who's not in the Hall of Fame right now, because I just feel like there's a ton of women probably who aren't in it yet that should be in her stead. That's just my personal opinion.
I can agree with that. And of course, we go to Saturday night with NXT TakeOver. Now, I have to admit, with so much craziness going on for me with my job at tax season at this time and so much wrestling to watch, I've been a little lack on NXT, but I know there's some big matches on this card that I'm very excited about.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. And then of course, you know, with the roster being pillaged recently, there's not as many people that I'm aware of here and there.
Yeah. No, for me, here's the thing with NXT more than anything is there's about five or six people who are on that NXT roster who are worth the price of admission. And that is Nakamura, Bobby Roode, The Revival, and Asuka. Because,
yeah.
And a lot of people were thinking maybe we'd even see Asuka at WrestleMania. I've heard to the contrary. She was just filling in for a Naomi while she was injured because they weren't sure she was going to be able to make WrestleMania or not. But they have big plans for her still in NXT. I think she's going to kind of get a little bit of the Bayley treatment where she's kind of held down until the women's division is kind of rebuilt some.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, she's facing off against Ember Moon. I think that's a great, you know, I think that would be a great passing of the torch right there. But maybe they don't feel like there's anyone strong, no strong competition for Ember Moon.
Yeah. And I personally, what Bobby Roode is doing right now in NXT is some of the best stuff he's ever done in his career.
Absolutely.
I mean, and you can't beat that theme song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's my my ringtone. So I'm a fan.
Oh yeah, he's doing great stuff. And I'll be curious because I don't think there's some people who could be called up, but I don't think we're gonna have the NXT call ups after WrestleMania this year like we did last year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. Just because I mean, if I would think maybe Asuka. You know, I could still see the possibility of that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't really be surprised if we saw, Shinsuke, but I mean, I think that's about it right now. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's still surprises that they can have. And, you know, one of them being, of course, the Demon, you know? So I think that, you know, Finn Balor has been stated to have been seen at some house shows. So,
well, there's video of him at some house shows where it looks like they're maybe even trying to set up a potential stable with Triple H, Kevin Owens, and Samoa Joe. and they've been wrestling Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, and Jericho at house shows. I really think I was kind of surprised. I kind of was expecting maybe a Finn Balor Samoa Joe match at Mania.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I there's so many places they could take that, and you know, I think honestly with bringing him back, I don't think you really need to focus on bringing anybody else from NXT up at that point. So.
Well, my personal opinion, and we'll talk about this a little bit more once as we address the WrestleMania card.
Okay.
I do think we see Finn Balor at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't, we for sure see him the Raw the night after.
I agree. Yep. That's what I think. I'm probably thinking the Raw after personally, but yeah, I agree with you.
He comes in, he will be the top babyface on Raw.
Yeah.
Immediately will be the top babyface on Raw. Now, there's some other things we're going to address, but I want to kind of save those for a little later, maybe after we talk about the card, because WrestleMania is always full of surprises, and we've talked about some things in the past. I have a feeling, if not at WrestleMania, within the few weeks afterwards, we're going to see several familiar faces come back to the WWE roster.
Oh, yeah.
So, but let's look at the card, because, and we're going to start with the pre-show, because we've got three things that I know, my understanding now, are actually two matches that I understand for sure will be on the pre-show. The first is being the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now, this is basically, right. We have nothing better for you to do. We're going to throw you in this.
Pretty much.
But yeah. I really think they're setting this up for Braun Strowman to win it.
You know, Braun Strowman has been such a heartbreak here lately, because I've felt like every single thing they've been building toward, they're like, okay, you're right where we need you to be. To job for Roman Reigns, make Roman Reigns look strong against The Undertaker. And it just feels like a waste to me.
And I think he's suffering, Braun Strowman is suffering from the Roman Reigns anchor, shall we call it?
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
And you know, I could see a surprise in here. I don't think the Big Show wins it. They had an interesting setup to get Sami Zayn into this Battle Royal on Raw. They've been doing something, kind of have an interesting storyline going on with him at Raw. So maybe the underdog from the underground pulls off the miracle, but.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely seems to be one of the stronger pushes that's been happening recently. So I don't think that would be a terrible, I don't think that would be a terrible pick.
No, so now this is the next match that's on the pre-show, and I am so disappointed this is on the pre-show and not on the main card, is the Cruiserweight Championship between Neville and Austin Aries. Because this has been some of the best stuff the WWE has been doing the last few months.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think both of those guys just kill it. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that's a feud. It's good. I actually kind of I kind of wish that it would have had more time, honestly. So maybe it'll continue. Maybe this won't be the blow-off, but, you know, that's a feud I want to see really go.
Oh, with it being on the kickoff show, I could see where something funky happens and Austin Aries loses or wins by like count out or disqualification or something like that. And this, I could easily see this program stretching on through the summer and maybe even culminating at SummerSlam finally
with, oh yeah,
going over the title there. But there's an interesting name in the Cruiserweights that I'm really enjoying right now. That's Akira Tozawa.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be thrown into the mix of this championship before the summer's out as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the next match, and this is what's interesting about this match was actually supposed to be on the kickoff show, and Becky Lynch put out a tweet out there about it being on the kickoff show, and the response was so great on Twitter, the WWE actually has moved it to the main show for WrestleMania. And as the women's championship match for SmackDown, which is basically Alexa Bliss versus the roster.
Yeah. Yeah. That's they've been so secretive about this match, and it seems odd and honestly kind of frustrating, because of course, you know, that's the one thing that everybody always says, I always have a problem with, is, you know, you say, okay, we're going to have this women's revolution, but come Mania, we're just going to throw them all together again in this one big match because we want to get everybody on there, but not give them any real time to shine. But it seems like maybe that's not what this is going to be. I really don't know what they have planned. So,
well, here's the thing. I think one of the big things that changes maybe how this match is going to go was the return of Naomi on SmackDown on Tuesday night, because I think they weren't sure whether she was going to be healthy enough to compete at WrestleMania. And once she got that clearance, it's her hometown. The intention was always to have her defend the title at WrestleMania, probably against Alexa Bliss. And that changed. So I wouldn't be surprised when Naomi wins the title in her hometown, just as a kind of a, hey, you know, redemption kind of thing. But I got to tell you, I was not a huge Alexa Bliss fan while she was in NXT, but she has been amazing on the main roster.
Oh, man. I initially was not. When they stuck her with Blake and Murphy, I was like, boom, this works. This is what she needs to be doing. And I've liked her ever since. I think her performance has gotten better. Her facials and her, her mic skills have really been getting better. I think she's terrific. So, you know, I think that honestly, in a lot of ways, I almost want to say that SmackDown has the better women's roster, but maybe it's just they're being utilized better than the Raw roster, because of course the Raw roster is excellent as well.
I think you have a good point there. I actually think the storylines running on the SmackDown roster are better than what they've got on Raw, and I think it's just because the three main women on Raw are just so immensely over and popular that they kind of just swallow a spotlight from any of the other female competitors on Raw.
Even
Nia Jax. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this might be one of the more unpredictable matches of the night. And two, I think the next match might be your get up and go get your snacks match. And that is the Raw Tag Team Championship between Gallows and Anderson versus Big Cass and Enzo Amore and Sheamus and Cesaro, which they just turned into a ladder match this week. I'm like, do I really need to see any of these performers in a ladder match?
No, not really. It's like, hey, let's see if Enzo's going to kill himself. Like, that's the only thing I can think of with a ladder match. Like, are we just trying to get him hurt again? You know, it's one of those things where that shouldn't be, it shouldn't be a bathroom break match. Like, all of those performers are fantastic, but once again, it's just there's no stakes. Nothing seems to really matter when these guys are in the matches, and it's just.
I think that's the one problem the WWE has right now is they're limited on their tag teams on both sides. Of all the things, when they split everything to brands, a lot of people thought, well, there's not enough women to really have enough for a belt on each brand, and it turns out I think there's not enough tag teams to have a belt on each brand.
Right. No, I agree completely. And I mean, there's definitely enough tag teams in NXT, so you could potentially bring some of those guys up, but then you have to wonder, is NXT going to be able to, you know, is that going to then hurt their tag team division?
No, but NXT is there to be developing new things, and the Revival are due to come up. I mean, they're ready.
True, but I mean, are we needing more heels or are we needing more faces? Because that, honestly, that's the thing, is Revival I think only works as heels, and I think that we kind of have enough heels.
Well, but here's the thing: do you think we could? I mean, I think Cesaro and Sheamus are kind of in the middle.
That's true. That's true.
Because Cesaro is immensely popular, and I think Sheamus has kind of become popular again thanks to his association with Cesaro.
That's true. And they did, with Mick leaving the other night, they did sort of have it, you know, give them they sort of gave, you know, Sheamus the babyface treatment. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you look in that. So, I mean, I would say, I guess, between those, it's sort of split down in the middle at the moment. So, yeah, you're probably right. If they're going to book those guys like babyfaces, then yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I personally think Gallows and Anderson walk away retaining. I don't see Cesaro and Sheamus having a chance. They could try to go with Enzo and Big Cass having the WrestleMania moment.
Right.
That wouldn't shock me, but I just see this as Gallows and Anderson setting up for something down the line on Raw. Now, I have to admit, though, the next title match I'm actually very curious about, and that's the Intercontinental Championship match between Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin, because I really think Corbin's going to walk away with the title.
Quite possibly. I mean, that's been somebody they've been wanting to push for a while. I'm just not sure with him. You know, I can't put my finger on Corbin. I think he kind of works, but I think maybe he needs more time. But then I have to wonder, you know, I don't know. I can't say too much with Corbin. I feel like I can't really make make any sort of a statement on him or give any more insight on him that would actually be helpful. He's a bit of a mystery to me at the moment. So
there's times when I see Corbin, especially, and he looks really good in the ring, and he cuts some great promos. And other times I'm like, he's just dull.
So right.
I think a title run experiment is not a bad idea with him to see if having the title pushes him to another level.
Right. Right. Okay. Yes, absolutely. This one should probably be lower on the card.
Yeah, no, I mean, these two guys are going to put on a show. I think Owens is going to win the title, and it's more because we know what Jericho's schedule is coming up. He's getting ready to do some stuff with Fozzy. It makes sense. But I mean, these guys are going to put on a wrestling clinic.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I think that, I mean, when you look at some of the matches and everything, I think this is the one that, yeah, it's the guys that have great chemistry that definitely want to, you know, they've got a lot of reasons to want to pull off a great match. And, you know, yeah, I think this stands to be one of the better ones. I mean, there's definitely, you know, like we talked about the cruiserweight match where we were, you know, just, you know, I think these two guys want to have a great match because they want to have a great match. But I think they're going to put a lot on themselves, and I think they're just going to pull out all the stops for this one.
Yeah, I think this is our show stealer. Like I said, I think Owens wins it. Kevin Owens is going to have, everybody's like, well, they took the title off him, he's going to go back down the ladder. Kevin Owens isn't going anywhere.
Right, right. I mean, that's true. I wasn't happy about them taking the title off of him. I wasn't happy about the way they did it. I had a lot of frustration with that, but I don't feel like it's actually hurt him, because he's not allowed it to. And I think if anything, what happens is this keeps the, you know, this sort of elevates the U.S. title rather than causing him to actually, you know, causing Kevin Owens to drop.
Yeah. Now, the next match on the card after that, we got the Raw Women's Championship, the 4-way elimination match between Bayley, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax.
I got to be honest, I think Nia Jax is such a weird, I just don't feel like she fits in this. I honestly feel like and I'm blanking on her name at the moment, but the one who was Charlotte's heater there for a bit, Dana Brooke. I kind of feel like this was Dana Brooke's spot, and I sort of feel like WWE kicked Dana Brooke to the curb for Nia Jax.
It's a tough call. I mean, Nia, you know, here's the thing: Nia Jax's cousin is The Rock, so
yeah,
that gives you a little bit of insight there. But you know, and she's done fairly well playing that monster role, and I think it kind of makes a good contrast to the rest of the women. I'll be shocked if she wins this match. My pick right now is that Sasha Banks walks out of WrestleMania with the title, going heel turn on Bayley.
See, my pick is, I think the heel turn is there. I think that they actually did finally hint at it on Raw Monday, but I think Charlotte wins.
You think Charlotte wins? Kind of. Just Sasha pulls the heel turn on Bayley, but in the meantime, when she does it, it costs her the match to Charlotte.
Right. Yeah. I think Charlotte ends up being able to capitalize on it. Charlotte gets the belt, and then you've got your Bayley and your Sasha feud, and then Charlotte retains the belt to go, go against whoever. Yeah, Dana Brooke kind of makes sense, but yeah, and then that would make sense why Dana Brooke might not be in this match as well. That seems to kind of make sense. I don't know how good of a babyface Dana Brooke would be personally, but you know, let's see how it works out.
Yeah. Now, the next match on the card is kind of our Hollywood match, shall we say. our mixed tag match with Al Roker of today serving as the special guest ring announcer. It's of course the John Cena and Nikki Bella versus the Miz and Maryse. And now I think when we all heard the rumors that this was going to be Cena's match at WrestleMania, a lot of people were like, really, this is the best you can do, considering there was a lot of talk he might have been the opponent for the Undertaker. But I got to give it to both John Cena and the Miz. They're cutting some of the best promo works of their careers, and I think they've got a lot of people really enticed by this match.
Yeah, 100%. I'm way more excited for this match than I have any right to be. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where when I first saw it, I was like, look, I think Nikki has gotten so much better over the years. I think. You know, I mean, we're hearing this is going to probably be her retirement match. And that's a shame because I think, honestly, Nikki is kind of at the top of her game as far as her performance goes. But, you know, I mean, I guess if she's having some medical issues and that, it is what it is. But, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, Miz is most improved this year. And I said, no, Miz has not improved, not one iota. Miz has been given the ability to showcase what he's always had. You know, I think Miz has always been great. And like I said, he's just right now he's giving the ability to show that. Cena, you know, love him or hate him, but Cena has always been fantastic, or at least had the ability to be fantastic. So that's both in the ring and on the mic. You know, that promo on Thursday was outstanding. I'm extremely.
No, I'm with you 100%. That the promo on Thursday from both of them was outstanding, but that promo John Cena cut on Thursday on SmackDown took me back to classic Cena when it was just no holds barred, not pandering to the audience. And, you know, I give John Cena credit in this aspect. I mean, the man is in phenomenal shape. He still goes. He still always comes back to the company. Yes, he's been spending more time away. But I think if they ever W said, we really need you for something, John, he would be there in a heartbeat. And I think he's doing some of the last couple of years, I honestly do believe he's done some of the best work of his career because he's letting other people get over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think SmackDown is the perfect place for him. And it's because he's not having to work the main event. You know, he'll stay mid card and just do something fun in the mid card and it works and it's fun. And, you know, I think that's perfect for him. And I mean, I think the best, the best show of it is that he was in Philly and getting cheers. So that means a lot.
Now the next match, I think we can say our personal favorite is competing in this match, Michael, but why are we having this match? And I'm talking about AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon.
Well, because AJ Styles is phenomenal and Shane McMahon just hasn't seen that. And so now he's got to show it to him. That's why we're having the match.
Here's the thing, and I actually think it was a good point in the promo they did on SmackDown, but it is a legitimate point AJ Styles brought up. Shane McMahon has never really competed in a traditional wrestling match.
Right. And there's a reason for that. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason for that, and that is Shane McMahon is an excellent showman, but he's not an excellent wrestler. And I don't mean that as a diss on him, because that's not, you know, that's not what he is. He's not, you know, he's not lived the life as a wrestler. You know, I mean, he has wrestled from time to time, and he's put on great shows. He's always made sure that when he was in a match that he was going to make it entertaining. So yeah, as far as like just a straight up wrestling match, that's going to make it sort of interesting. But we do have AJ Styles there, and where I don't think that this is going to be the best match that we could have gotten. You know, I mean, there's so many people that are employed with the company that, granted, I mean, they could be in NXT or on Raw or whatever, but there's so many people who could put on a better match. But I don't think that means it's going to be a bad match. I mean, AJ Styles is AJ Styles, and Shane McMahon is always trying to, you know, to be entertaining. So
yeah, no, I mean, I don't think, like I said, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a bad match. It's just not a match that I'm like dying to see per se. But I will say this: there's going to be some spectacular moment in it. I think AJ Styles is going to go over, because I think there's something very. I've heard some rumors, and I'll address that a little bit. But I think there's something very big that's going to be happening with AJ Styles shortly after WrestleMania. And this is just a hunch. And if the rumors I've read are come to fruition, I will be very excited about it. So
now, is it that he's going to be making a babyface turn?
It's a little more than that. There's talk that shortly after WrestleMania, there could be a very big trade between the brands.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and spell. There are rumors that you could see a Roman Reigns AJ Styles trade between the brands.
Wow. That would be interesting.
With AJ Styles going babyface on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And
Roman Reigns going heel on SmackDown.
could very well be.
Right.
Because they do feel, you know, that they kind of need that extra star power on Raw. And I think they're kind of realizing people might finally be getting a little burned out on Roman, and maybe going to SmackDown would be.
Getting? Doesn't getting mean that there was a time when they weren't?
Well, I think there was a time when people weren't completely burned out on Roman Reigns, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, right.
So next on the card, which this is a huge card, but we have the non-sanctioned Seth Rollins versus Triple H match. Now, Michael, I want to ask you, because I still think there is some legitimate injury to Seth Rollins, but how injured do you think Seth Rollins is?
I don't think Seth Rollins is injured. And because if Seth Rollins was injured, they would not be having this match, period. I mean, with WWE being a public traded company right now, I don't believe for a minute that they would risk that. So I don't think he's injured at all. But I think it's excellent that they have sort of kayfabed us, you know, that there has been question. Is he really injured? Is he not? I don't know. You know, I think that's great. I think that's great storytelling. But at the end of the day, I cannot believe that they would do this match if there was any sort of possibility that he should not be in it.
Yeah, my leaning is that, yeah, he's got doctor's clearance, but I can tell, having had both of my knees operated on, I kind of know certain signs. I think that knee's still a little, I'll call it tender, we'll put it that way. So I don't think he's going to be able to get in the ring. I don't think he's going to be able to go full Seth Rollins like we've seen him before. I think they're going to be a little bit cautious. Because I have heard, too, that there were contingency plans. If Seth couldn't go, Finn Balor was going to take his place against Triple H at Mania.
Right.
Which is would be explain some of the reason why Finn Balor has been in those six-man tags at house shows with
Triple H. Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the thing is, that may be true. Maybe he's able to wrestle, but he's got to take it easy. And I don't think that'd be the worst thing for him, honestly. I think sometimes maybe he goes a little too hard, and that's a bit of why he's kind of in this situation. But, you know, I think Triple H is probably a good person to be going out there with, honestly. I think that he can take care of him. And, you know, I mean, Triple H has been in the business for so long, and he knows it so well. I think he knows how to really sell this match, and at the same time, not put a lot of strain on Seth Rollins, and, you know, not risk Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Now, here's my question, because I think this is very interesting. Who do you think goes over in this match?
I can't see
where you have Hunter go over at this point.
Because I don't know where they're going to go with it. Because I don't see anywhere to go from here. I think it could end either way. But I'm going to go with Rollins.
I'm going to go with Rollins too, but I think there's going to be some shenanigans involved, because I wouldn't be surprised if a certain Mick Foley gets involved in this match somehow.
Very true. Very, very likely. Yeah. There may be a lot of and that's the thing too, is that think about Sting versus Triple H a couple years ago, right?
I try not to, because it makes me sad because I love Sting.
Well, I thought it was a great match. There's one thing that I said at the time, and I still believe to this day, they messed up on, which was Ric Flair. Ric Flair should have came out there, and Ric Flair should have been the ender for Sting, because that's classic Ric Flair versus Sting rivalry. You know, always just screwing him over because that's Ric Flair, and it would have worked better in the storyline with, you know, Triple H pushing Flair down and all of that stuff. Like that's how it should have went. But anyhow, I digress. The point I'm making is pulling out all of those types of things in order to make, to kind of hide the fact that Sting wasn't, you know, they didn't think that he could go, or they were worried that he may not be able to go for very long. I think we might see stuff like that. We might see Samoa Joe. We might see Finn Balor. We might see Sami Zayn, you know. I think we could see some stuff like that pop up.
I think this will be – I would say this is probably the most shenanigan match of the card, but I think we have definite shenanigans coming in the next match, because we're talking Undertaker, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's this is going to be interesting, and this may make certain individuals upset with me, but it's just truth. They need to do this match very carefully, or it's going to expose Roman Reigns even further. Undertaker, you know, I mean, at this point, he really needs somebody who can go with him, because he's just, you know, he
is fossilized. The Undertaker.
Yeah.
I love the Undertaker. He's a legend. I have nothing but absolute respect for the man, but he can barely move.
Yeah. And I think that putting him in there with Roman Reigns doesn't do any favors for either of them. So
I did not understand this when they announced this was going to be the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I give them credit. I do kind of like the storyline they're going with, as far as so many people do consider the WWE Undertaker's Yard, and they're doing that with Roman Reigns and stuff. I like that idea, but it just doesn't execute with Roman Reigns, because
it just doesn't seem to make any sense.
Roman Reigns, who I do think has improved, but he's not capable of carrying Undertaker in a match.
Well, alas, and I also stand by, I don't think he's improved. I think he does less. 80% of Roman Reign offense are clotheslines.
Yeah, clotheslines are Superman punches.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see multiple Superman punches. You're going to see multiple clotheslines. He'll hit the drive-by at a certain point. You know, he's going to hit the spear at a certain point, if not multiple times there. And, I mean, that's about all of what his matches consist of.
Now, when I say, and I agree with you, but when I also talk about shenanigans, this screams to me Braun Strowman.
That's exactly where I was about to go, too. I think that they would be foolish not to put Braun Strowman in this because, I mean, like I said, you're going to end up exposing this match if you don't have some sort of gimmicks going, you know? I mean, you've got to have something to sort of divert and you know, entertain. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to work.
No, I agree with you, and I think they're going to continue with Strowman Reigns after WrestleMania. I think what I'm really truly hoping, and I doubt WWE will do it, but they need. I'd like to see if Finn Balor comes back, Roman Reigns really going to get pushed to that secondary baby face for a while, and just kind of let him do his thing. You know, don't force it. Don't overkill Roman Reigns. And maybe a move to SmackDown is the best thing for him at this point. But they need to just let Roman Reigns, let him turn heel if that's what it's going to take. I think, now I have heard, and I've heard this on several podcasts with legitimate wrestlers, the Jericho podcast, a few others. And they say, the kind of noise that Roman Reigns gets is amazing in the stadium. The guy gets reaction. And it's very Cena-esque. It's split. And I even notice that more. Again, it's almost like the kids and the women love Roman Reigns and the guys hate him. It's very Cena-esque in a way.
Well, that's definitely the line that they're running with, but I don't think that there's as much truth to that. In fact, on another podcast that I listened to, the Sam Roberts podcast, they had someone on who was, you know, he was more in the pro Roman Reigns camp, and he essentially was saying that. And Katie Linendahl, who I absolutely adore, she was on that, and she goes, "Dude, are you on bath salts?" she's like, "No, I've been," because they do, like, they'll go to those events a lot, and she's like, "I've been in those stadiums. Yeah, he does get some reaction, but," she's like, "those stadiums are not for him. A lot of stuff is, you know, put in post." Especially I've noticed watching on Hulu the next day, you know, especially like even with some like Goldberg chants, you know, WWE is not above changing history on the tapes. And you know, there's definitely a lot of that. I think that that's what they're wanting to run with. But the reality of the situation is he's not unliked, but he's not even close to as liked as a lot of other individuals, especially for the push that he's been giving. His merchandise is not as popular as, you know, as they might make you believe. I mean, I can tell, I'll put it to you this way. And now this isn't like any sort of analytical data. This is more, I can't think of a word of it, but basically, my mom, you know, my parents have a local promotion, and my mom and I were talking about it or whatever, and she was shocked because I actually sold a Roman Reigns action figure, because she's like, "We cannot get rid of Roman Reigns action figures." So now, granted, that's a very small portion. I mean, that's, you know, that's only like around where they go. There's obviously 50 states, and we're not in all of them. But even still, I that leads me to believe that Roman Reigns is not as popular with the kids as some people will lead you to believe.
Yeah. Now, and the other thing is too, I don't see, this is a no-win situation for Roman Reigns. He wins the match over The Undertaker. People are going to turn on him like it's going out of style. He loses the match to Undertaker. He gains nothing from it. Unless the next night on Raw, The Undertaker gives him the big thumbs up and respect and everything like that, trying to get him over.
But I don't think that's going to get him over. You know, that's the thing, is that I don't, I mean, let's be honest. The reaction to this, you know, when we first saw that this is what we would be getting, was the fans chanting explicitives, you know, or expletives. It's
ugly. This is, I still don't think this is the last Undertaker WrestleMania. I honestly do believe next year will be the last Undertaker WrestleMania, and it will be Taker versus Cena. I think that's how it's going to go out, and I think that's the only fitting way to do that. But let's move on to we got the final two matches, the two championship matches, and we'll start with the WWE Championship. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
I'm about it.
Yeah. This has been quite an interesting storyline. This is harkens me back to the days of like the really dark Undertaker and the whole ministry and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I agree. Yeah. I think that's cool. A lot of people have said, they're like, okay, I feel like this was sort of rushed, but in a lot of ways, it kind of is what makes it good, you know, where all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, okay, Randy Orton's with Bray Wyatt. That's everything how it is. They're not going to wrestle. We'll wait to find, you know, we'll wait for further development, see what's going to actually happen. Oh, and Randy Orton just burnt down Bray Wyatt's house. You know, it was so abrupt, but I kind of like that. You know, it was just kind of like, what the crap? Everything's going great.
And that's typical Randy Orton. I mean, and that's right. That's been the great thing about this. And Bray Wyatt's just been awesome with it since he got the championship.
Yes. Yeah.
And I do think he retains because I think he holds that title to at least SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and that's what I want. I don't think Randy Orton needs it. I don't want him to get it. But either way, however this match turns out, I think it's going to be a killer match. I think both of those guys are so talented.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think Randy Orton's putting in some of the best work of his career right now. He's come after his last hiatus. He's come back with a really good attitude. He's working hard. So I'll be kind of shocked if Randy wins it. I think they're gonna have some big plans for Wyatt after WrestleMania of rebuilding the Wyatt family with some new people and seeing how that goes. Now,
yeah.
I have a question for you, Michael.
Yes.
What is your over under on time limit for the next match?
Oh, for the next match.
Our WWE Universal Championship match, will it go over or under 5 minutes?
Well, it hasn't so far.
You know, I mean, I feel like they've jumped the shark on this, and it's unfortunate because I'll tell you, when they first started showing Goldberg and saying, you know, oh, that Goldberg's coming, my thoughts were, what are you doing? Because not that it's 100% truth. I mean, there is obviously some truth to it, but at least the way that the WWE has been painting Goldberg on their, you know, their specials on the network, it has not been in the best light. I mean, they have drug him through the mud. I mean, absolutely buried the guy. And I was like, how are you going to sit here and do this and then turn around and try to push him? But they did, and it worked. You know, he comes back and everyone's excited for him, and I see him do that first spear and I'm a kid again. I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I can't believe it. I'm actually kind of behind Goldberg right now. This is awesome. I had no problems with how he took out Lesnar. I even thought when he turns around and just tosses him right out of the Royal Rumble, I thought that was great too. But I think that they screwed up with what they did with Kevin Owens. I think that there's a lot of love for Kevin Owens, and it kind of felt like they just said, all right, Kevin, you know, you've had the belt, but now you got to give it up to some of the big boys. You know, it felt sort of dismissive. And real, quite frankly, just unnecessary. The title isn't even needed for this match whatsoever, you know?
Well, okay. Now let me run this by you because I've thought about this, and because the title's involved, we can't. Here's how I think this should have went down.
Okay.
Goldberg wins a Survivor Series. Okay, even what happens at the Royal Rumble, fine. Lesnar should have won the title from Owens. And here's why.
Okay.
Because then you go into this main event with Goldberg being the challenger. Right now, you look at it with Goldberg the champion, I think 99% of the world has got this as Lesnar winning the title from Goldberg. If Goldberg goes into WrestleMania as the challenger, You have a lot more unknown. And let's say they give Goldberg the title. You know Goldberg's going to be there for a short time. You could have him lose the title, not even to Lesnar. Maybe Kevin Owens gets it back in a rematch with Lesnar interference costing Goldberg the title. Because let's say Lesnar's just so freaked out by Goldberg at this point, he thinks he's had a better shot of getting the title back from Kevin Owens.
Yeah. No, you know what? I agree with you 100% on that. I think that if, you know, Owens losing the title, as much as I don't see any reason for the title to be in the match at all, but yeah, if you're going to put it in, I agree with you. I think that's the better way to do it. I think that for one thing, if it would have been Lesnar, you probably would have got a better match against Owens. And then also, yeah, I agree with you. There's at least some bit of mystery there.
Yeah. So that's the card. You've kind of gotten our picks. Now, WrestleMania is always good for one or two shock surprises, Michael. So what do you have in your mind? Give me a couple of shock surprises. We've addressed Finn Balor. I think my personal feeling is he's either going to show up at the end of WrestleMania when Brock's standing tall with the title, the lights are going to go off, and you're going to see the demon at the top of the stage doing the title around his waist thing, or we're going to see the return of Balor on Raw that following night. But do you have any other possible shock surprises?
I think that potentially we could see Balor showing up the next night. I feel more strongly that he's going to make his return appearance on Raw. I think that we may see The Rock show up. Now, here's the thing, and I actually wouldn't be too upset about this. Say, you know, we're saying, and I agree, I think it's a very respectful way to do it, and I would like to see it. Cena versus Undertaker. What if, though, we have The Rock show up at the end of The Undertaker, or even in the middle? If you bring Braun Strowman in and you have The Rock come and take Braun Strowman out, and this ends up leading to next year's WrestleMania, The Rock versus Undertaker.
That would be interesting, and that's something to do with The Rock. And, you know, here's the thing with The Rock, and we still have, from two WrestleManias ago, the great setup they had of a mixed tag with The Rock and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie. And now that Ronda Rousey's basically called it quits from MMA, that's a very distinct possibility.
I don't think so, just because I don't think she's in the place right now to do that. I think from everything I've heard that's pretty much, you know, that's basically passed on that. So, I mean, it's possible. I still would be excited for it, but I don't think that passed on it. Not that they couldn't highlight. I mean, I guess they could always be like, hey, remember this, and then, you know, start up a new thing with it. So that's possible, but I don't think that as far as like the heads, like, you know, I don't think she's in the right headspace right now to be doing anything like that. Talking about Ronda Rousey.
Now, I want to throw into, as a possible WrestleMania or Raw after Mania surprise, I think our favorite wild cards in the pro wrestling industry right now are good friends, the Broken Hardys.
Yeah. Yeah, we certainly might see those guys showing up at Mania.
And everybody's saying, well, but they just signed a contract with Ring of Honor. Well, if you've been following a lot, first of all, the WWE has a very good relationship with Ring of Honor, and there's actually even rumors that the WWE is close to buying Ring of Honor.
Right.
Now, here's the other thing. On April 1st, Ring of Honor Supercard, down about 40 minutes down the road from Orlando, the Broken Hardys are wrestling the Young Bucks. So, the Hardys are going to happen to be pretty close to Orlando, Florida at the time WrestleMania is going on.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying that I know anything anybody else doesn't know, but if I was a betting man, yeah, I would put my money on seeing the Hardys in the WWE very soon.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of ways they could go if they bring the Hardys in. what the Hardys are doing online right now with this whole we're collecting tag team gold thing is amazing, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. But
possibly aligning the Hardys either against the Wyatt family, a new version of the Wyatt family, the Broken Hardys versus the Wyatts, that would be interesting, or even aligning them with Bray Wyatt.
Here's my thing. I think that I say personally, don't put them with anybody against anybody, and don't put them as a tag team. Let's see them. I want to see essentially the final deletion over in the WWE, because I mean, a lot of people, that was the, you know, I've said this before. It's ridiculous that TNA or Impact Wrestling has had the problems that they've had when they absolutely had the storyline of the year last year. I mean,
and here's the thing, as crazy as that was, mm-hmm. by far was the most talked about storyline in wrestling all year long.
Right. And,
you know, as far as in the ring work, I've always been a big fan of Jeff Hardy. I think he's always been the superior of the two. But Matt, I got to give Matt Hardy all the credit in the world for his brain to come up with this.
Yeah.
This has been amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the dude is, I mean, he's an absolute genius. He has a mind for it. And yeah, like I said, I would love to see not so much just a one for one rehash of it, but I know there is a ton of people who never even saw it because it was just out of the peripheral. And I think that doing something similar to that again is just absolute money.
Yeah, well, now, here's the thing, and this is the one thing that I'm a little bit concerned about with. The whole Broken gimmick is in litigation right now because the guys who own Impact are saying they own the license to the Broken gimmick. Now, I'm thinking if the Hardys go to the WWE and get those big, powerful WWE attorneys behind them, that story will change very quickly.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, I would love this. What I would love to see is, even if they don't do this final deletion thing right away, have the Hardys just, don't put them on just one show. Have them raid everywhere going after both sets of titles. Mm-hmm. Just have them cause mass chaos.
Yeah. There's so much that can be done with those guys. They're super talented. But, you know, like I said, it's, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, certainly not me. I don't know anything. So, you know, it's all 100% speculation. I'm just talking as a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Now, okay, so let me ask you this as we kind of close up this look at WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, is there any direction you want to see the WWE go? Do you think it's time for another draft, maybe shake things up a little bit, or at least throw in some trades, make up some new pairings?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing for sure that we need to see is, I think that we need to see some trades for sure. And I like what you said about Reigns. I think that the best place for Reigns right now, besides the unemployment line, is a heel, you know, basically in the mid card as a heel on SmackDown. I think that that is where he would thrive the most.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, if for some reason Dean Ambrose retains the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, having Roman Reigns come to SmackDown as a heel and have a Reigns-Ambrose program for the IC title, that would be big.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I think that that's perfectly doable. And I think that's where they should go with that.
Yeah. So now, you know, I'm curious. It's a very interesting time for the WWE. It's kind of rest of the day, the Raw after WrestleMania, which is always insane. It's always kind of the hit the reset button. But what's interesting too is that SmackDown the next night is also in Orlando, so all those guys are going to be in the same area still. So I really think anything can happen. I think this year the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania could be some of the craziest shows we've seen in a while.
Yep. Yep, and it's unfortunate that, like for instance, now this isn't Raw and SmackDown exactly, but you know, all of that's going on. I know while I'm over at Celebration, in Orlando, the NXT is going to be coming to Atlanta. And so, like, my family's got tickets to that. And then when I come back home, the week before, I guess, is the week that they're doing everything down in Orlando. So I'm like, great. So I'm not going to be down there early enough for the takeover, but then they're going to be coming to Atlanta. So so I'm going to miss out on all that stuff, unfortunately.
Well, my friend, at some point we'll have to get you down to Orlando. I'll meet up with you there. We'll take in an NXT.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, that'd be great. And especially if, you know, if they're going to be getting some new guys on the roster here soon, that could be a lot of fun.
I think you're going to see some Ring of Honor familiar faces in NXT very soon.
I think you're going to see some Lucha Underground faces.
That's true. I got to ask you real quick, too, before we close up. Lucha Underground, The first two seasons now streaming on Netflix. How interesting is that?
That's fantastic. And, Cortez, I'm not going to say his real name, but I know him by his real name, so I can't remember. Is it Castro Cortez? He actually has been doing a lot with my dad's promotion here recently. So he'd kind of told my dad about that ahead of time, and my dad texted me. I was like, that is awesome. I am so happy about that, because I was watching it. I love Ring of Honor. I love their format. And, the fact that I can actually now get caught up on it, because it's not like a normal wrestling show where you can just kind of pick up here and there. It's kind of more like watching Daredevil or something, where you're like, no, I've got to see what happened last week to see what's going to happen this week, you know?
And there's some guys there. I mean, if you haven't seen Lucha Underground at this point, there's some familiar faces you're going to recognize. Johnny Mundo or Morrison.
All right. I actually like Mundo better as a name. I think that's so cool.
So yeah, I think that's really interesting, and I'm curious. I hope this experiment works, because I would love to see WWE be kind of get a little pressed on the network to kind of up their game a little on the network.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's now is a really fun time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And I think you're going to see some very interesting things over the next 6 months. As you see some people move up from NXT, you're going to see some new faces go to NXT. And like I said, there are rumors out there that WWE might be trying to make a run at buying Ring of Honor flat out. And that could be very interesting as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's, like I said, I mean, they're just going at everybody. I mean, Ring of Honor, you know, like I said, if they're going to be taking some Lucha Underground talent, Puma, you know, then, I mean, that's, they're really just kind of grabbing everybody.
Yeah, I find it interesting, because a lot of it, I think, is Hunter and not Vince in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Mike, yeah. I want to thank you for joining us and talking a little WrestleMania with me. It's always fun to talk to you on this subject, because
yeah,
you're such so knowledgeable in it. You're the regular Michael the Brain Morris.
I appreciate it.
But I know we're going to have you back on soon, because we got a little Celebration to talk about, and I definitely want to get you back on either before or after Celebration to get your thoughts and about what's going to be happening at Celebration, because there's been some interesting announcements in the last couple of days. Dennis Lawson, I was rather shocked.
Yeah, I would have thought that the whole thing would have bored him, but I guess not.
And even today, sneaking in without really a lot of major announcement anywhere until like it was already sold out, but Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, I am so happy. I haven't pre-purchased anyone's tickets, no one's, but or whatever. And he's like, well, he's just there the one day. So I was like, okay, you know what? It's the one day. It's something I'm interested in, so I'm going to go ahead and grab it. And probably not even 2 hours later, it's sold out. I was like, oh, thank goodness that I purchased this, because otherwise I would not have the opportunity. So, yeah. I mean, within hours of it being announced, he's already sold out for autographs.
Yeah, so that's very cool. Like I said, I'm jealous of all you guys. I'll be working away, but I know you guys will try to have a little fun.
we'll do the best we can, man.
Be tough. And then, you know, I think sometime over the summer, we got to get you back on I think we need to talk some more kaiju, because there's, you know, we do have Godzilla that's getting ready to start filming, and we have, well, not so much Godzilla, but it does have a Star Wars tie, because John Boyega is a little busy filming a certain film right now.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Pacific Rim.
You won't be able to see the video. He is holding up kaiju from Pacific Rim.
That's right. I've got my knife head. It's the regular one. I actually have two knife heads. I have the regular one, and then I have the battle damaged one, and then not Slantern. I can't remember this one's name, but yeah. Freaking love me some Pacific Rim. The fact that John Boyega is going to be in it makes it all the more exciting for me. Yeah, I honestly, there's not enough kaiju podcast. There's not enough people talking about kaiju. I really need everybody to fix that.
Well, I think Michael knows he has an open invitation on the Fandom Podcast Network at any time to talk kaiju.
You'd be kicking me off. You're like, all right, that's enough. We got to talk about something besides kaiju. I'm like, no, there's more.
That's the more kaiju plot. Now, if you have a 10-hour straight podcast on kaiju.
I mean, if you want to give it the proper the proper treatment,
we'll have Michael Morse's kaiju farm.
right. It's like CNN, but for kaiju.
Well, my friend, it's been a pleasure having you on here. But they're about to give us the 10 count for being out of the ring too long. So it's time to get back in the ring, get back to work, and we will talk to you soon. And we will be back after WrestleMania with regular Culture Clash. And I, there's a few trailers that have come out in the last few days we're going to be talking about on the next Culture Clash.
Awesome, man. I can't wait to hear it. Definitely makes my work day go by a lot better. And, you know, I just got to ask, because I know you're out there listening. Kevin, have you finished V yet?
I will make sure he gets the message.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Road to WrestleMania Culture Clash. We hope you enjoy it. And Michael will be back on soon, because me and him will be talking more wrestling as we're going through the summer, because the countdown to SummerSlam will be fast approaching. Have a good one, everybody.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.